UNLV, the Brady Hoke Show, presented by San Diego Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Let us say hello to Ian Fitzsimmons. If my information is correct, Ian Fitzsimmons just completed a drive from Dallas to Lubbock, Texas. Fitzy, nice to speak with you. How was that drive?
It's awful. It really is. All you see are tumbleweeds, unbelievable barbecue shacks, and a lot of wind power, the windmill power things. It's brutal, but all good. It's always good to be back in Lubbock. Once you get here, it's actually a great college town, man. It really is. It's got a really, really, you know, West Texas vibe to it. And let me tell you, they're proud of their Red Raiders. So I'm here, made it now in about 10 minutes. I get to go get nasally violated. So there you go. That's my day.
Have you had that happen before yet? Have you had the COVID test before today?
Oh, yeah. Last time I was here in Lubbock,
it's not that bad.
5 weeks ago. The first time you do it, you want to cry. I mean, look, I walked in here and they were all set up in a conference room, and you walk in and you see like Nurse Ratchet in a corner in a hazmat suit. Darren, she was in a full hazmat suit, and you fill out the paperwork, right, or whatever. And then she's like, come with me. I'm like, well, where are we going? So we're going outside. I'm like, why the hell are we going outside? And why are you in a full hazmat suit? You walk outside, you sit down, some people just kind of snot all over you. I'm like, oh, my God, Magnum. So the first time you get it, yeah, you know, the eyes water a little bit. You kind of cringe. But now I've got to do it once a week. So it's become kind of become old hat.
So people snot all over these poor techs. Like, what is it, a plunger where somebody's pulling in the suction, all of a sudden the snot comes flying out?
Like picture one of those long, long, long Q-tips, right, with a wooden tip to it. You got to have one of those bad boys shoved up each schnauz. And if you have a deviated septum, you're gonna cringe. Your toes are gonna cringe a little bit. Trust me. Yeah, I mean, it's just finger factor involved.
I hear you. I had a bunch of them myself. All right, Ian Fitzsimmons is joining us. He's got a couple of minutes. Aside from your game, so you're going to be on television this week? Is that what Marty told me?
I've been doing TV. Radio sidelines are all Remy. Where, you know, our radio broadcasts. Barrett Jones and Sean Kelly. Sean's doing it from his house in Louisiana. Barrett's doing it from his house in Tennessee. Beth Faber is producing it from her house in Buffalo, and it's originating out of Bristol. Yeah, I mean, technology, dude. It's unbelievable, and they sound great. But I've done Texas Tech, I think, week two against Houston Baptist. I did Louisiana Tech a couple weeks ago. West Virginia, Texas Tech this week. SMU, undefeated SMU, by the way, next week on ESPN2. So they want to put this fat, bearded, Grizzly Adams-looking mug on TV. Go right ahead. I'll try and dress it up, put lipstick on a pig with a nice suit.
So you got Texas Tech and West Virginia, which gives me the opportunity to ask you, because some will look at the Big 12 and they'll go, well, Texas isn't any good. Oklahoma isn't any good. That must be a down year for this conference. What can you tell us about the state of affairs in the Big 12?
They're actually playing defense, which is insane when you think about it. The Fighting Matty Campbells, man, Iowa State will knock the snot out of you. And they're undefeated. They had the hiccup week one against Louisiana. Since then, they've been trucking people. West Virginia's defensive front, look, if you're an NFL fan and you're looking for an interior defensive lineman that will just absolutely wants to bury you and humiliate you, I got two of them up front for West Virginia, the Stills brothers, Darius and Dante. Darius is going to be a late first-round draft pick. Dante probably a second-round pick if he decides to come out. And they're the son of Gary Stills, who played like 10 years in the league, West Virginia Hall of Famer. These two big bad A's are awesome, and they will run your butt down. And when they arrive with bad intentions. Kansas State's playing good defense. I mean, what the hell's going on in the Big 12? Outside of Texas still stinking. Oklahoma, you know, had so many guys leave, or you know, Trey Sermon went to Ohio State. They're trying to get Spencer Rattler going. They haven't been able to play defense there in forever. But these other schools are actually starting to play some D, man. And the SEC's giving up, at least going into last weekend, I'd have to look it up, Darren. But the mighty SEC, right, with their mighty defense, they were giving up more yards per play than any other conference in college football right now. Whereas the Big 12 is actually, at least half the league, has actually started to buy in and play some defense. So welcome to 2020, man, where Coastal Carolina is ranked and Oklahoma and Texas isn't.
Yeah, well, that's such a chicken or the egg conversation, too, about the SEC. You know, is it defense that is starting to slip, or is it offense that's actually starting to modernize? It really is an interesting conversation. What are you expecting from the Big Ten teams this year, especially Ohio State, We know what Ohio State meant just in terms of the Big Ten getting back up and running and playing here. I would have to think 5-6 weeks behind for the Big Ten. If there's any sort of national college football playoff aspirations, yeah, they might have to start putting a hurting on some people. What are you expecting from the Big Ten team seeing them for the first time this weekend?
That is the team to watch. Darren, you drilled it, man. There ain't no doubt. And look, here, I talked to one former committee member and a former committee chair this week about the Big Ten. And separate from one another, they both said, we really need to have, if I were still on the committee, I'd want to have at least 7 data points to compare to maybe if you get 9 or 10 from the SEC or 9 or 10, maybe even 11 from an ACC team. You know, you want to be able to at least have a close enough body of work to be able to truly compare a 7-game slate versus and how they look in those 7 versus 9 in the SEC or 10 in the SEC, whatever it may be. They want the data points to be at least close enough to be able to have a close enough body of work to be able to grade, are these guys worthy of being in the college football playoff? That ain't going to be easy because there's no way, there is zero chance, in my opinion, that the Big Ten is going to be able to play 8 games in 8 weeks. It ain't going to happen, man. I mean, look what's going on in Florida. Like, we went on to Missouri or Vanderbilt. You're going down the list, right? Houston can't play a game. Baylor's had 3 canceled. I mean, it's not easy to navigate this thing. That's why the Big 12, SEC, ACC decided to go ahead. We'll move it back till, late September, but we got to get going. And because they wanted to be able to have some maneuverability because they knew games were going to have to be postponed. Well, the Big Ten ain't got that luxury, man. The Pac-12 ain't got that luxury. Pac-12 is going to, they're out. I mean, just go ahead and write them off. I mean, you're going to have a 6-game model, no shot. I mean, and it ain't going to happen. But Ohio State, if they can get 7 of 8 in and be dominant in all of them, because Ryan Day told me this is the best team he's been around. Now, let that sink in, man, because he's been around some damn good ones, including last year. He's saying this is his best team. You know, they may be the only squad that can actually run with Clemson and Alabama, because to me, those two squads, it's a drop off after that.
It's 20 seconds, because I know you got to go, so I want to make this as quick as possible. But we saw baseball adjust on the fly. We saw basketball adjust on the fly, hockey, et cetera. It goes on. Do you think that college football's postseason, will they show any willingness to be flexible when it comes to the playoff, when it comes to the dates, et cetera? Will there be any flexibility in college football this year?
Well, the NHL and NBA had the bubble, right? MLB, tip of the cap to them because everyone wanted to cancel the season after the money whipping Miami Marlins, right, when visited Liberty Bell. And I ain't talking about the actual Liberty Bell, So when they went to Philadelphia and had all that massive breakout. So, but they found a way to figure it out and get to this point where we have World Series Game 3 tomorrow night. College football is not going to move off their date, in my opinion. I have not talked to anybody. I'm on the current committee. I have not talked to Bill Hancock about this. But I was on a call earlier today driving over here for 5 hours. They were talking about the logistics of the college football playoff down at the Orange Bowl in Miami. And it doesn't sound like there's any thought of moving that date back. It sounds like, now maybe they could, but it just sounded to me like that is a firm date. So to answer your question, it's not going to be able to go, oh, let's just move the Big Ten title game back, or oh, let's just move the Pac-12 title game back. No, I don't think that's going to happen. The way the schedule is set right now in college football, that's what you've got. And that's why it's going to be a very daunting task, almost impossible, in my opinion, for the Big Ten to play 8 games in 8 weeks. I'm glad to have them back right now. But, man, they better be careful because it's going to be very difficult to maneuver that.
Good luck with your COVID test. We'll be watching this weekend. Appreciate it.
When you feel that tremor in the force, that's when that swab went up my right schnauz, because the right one ain't as deep as the left one, if you get what I'm saying.
I don't get what you're saying, but now deviated I'm thinking about
septum.
That all day.
Deviated septum. They got to ram that thing in there, man. It ain't going to feel good.
So what are we talking? A pinky? A ring finger? Which finger can you get furthest up your schnoz?
Up the right one? You better find me a baby. I'll call you later. Be good, Smitty.
Peace out. Fun. Ian Fitzsimmons, everybody, ESPN, who just made a 5-hour drive from Dallas to Lubbock. Woof.
And here's your COVID test for your reward. Thanks for coming. That's crazy, man. We talked yesterday about the contingency plans for the NFL having the Super Bowl in March, and the college football committee just rigid, unwilling.
Right. Hey, and it's sort of, I mean, it's such a bummer for the Pac-12, because it's like, what are you doing this for?
You're out.
I know you're doing it so you can satisfy television. I get that. We all understand. But, like, come on. I mean, how do you do that to your member schools? You're all part of the same NCAA, aren't you?
No. Apparently not.
Hey, listen, in all seriousness, I just want to say before we move on, happy birthday. And I mean this. To Bob Odenkirk. You know who Bob Odenkirk is?
Better Call Saul. I love Saul Goodman. I love him.
Saul Goodman.
Yes.
It's his birthday today.
Is that
right?
For
anybody who's a Breaking Bad fan,
yes.
Anybody who watches Better Call Saul, Saul Goodman. It's his real life birthday today, Bob Odenkirk.
Okay, now you've inspired me, Darren, because, when does the final season, when does that happen? It should be like soon, right? Oh, I love
that.
My favorite show. Better Call Saul season 6.
So happy birthday, Bob Odenkirk.
Finale season.
You're definitely a crowd favorite around here.
Love him. Absolute favorite.
Final segment for our day.